two. Do it in a happy way. I don't know how you could do that.
Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning. Savages, I say. Endeavoring, pressing on. We will not be broken. Hallelujah.
I think you're pulling up on Miller and trying to tell yourself that.
It's Friday. Let's all feel it. Everybody's
working for the weekend. I don't think I do.
Just bang the cowbell if you got it, my brothers. Somebody bang it, please. I know you. There it is. Give me a cowbell. I'll bang that thing right now.
40 minutes away from Steve Keim, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, to explain what happened. You want a piece of my heart? It is amazing to really think about this, that it could possibly happen at the beginning of this game. But the Arizona Cardinals on play number two of the game, had to call a timeout because of an alignment problem. And almost every team in the world, including the Cardinals, script their first sets of plays. So you knew, and you don't take a day off during your short week, so you probably knew Tuesday, definitely by Tuesday, maybe Monday, you knew the second play of the game, and the offense couldn't get it set right. And I sit here this morning, and I'm really interested in what Steve Keim's going to say at 7:45, because on the one hand, you can't. I don't sit here and root for the firing of Mike McCoy.
Yes,
I think that's
right.
When you cross the line and you're a jerk.
Sure.
And for those of you fans that want him fired, he deserves it, in my opinion. But at the same time, to actually be happy that another man loses his job, I think is about as crappy as
Amen.
You can get. Yet the only answer that Steve Keim could give on why Mike McCoy is still the offensive coordinator to me that would be acceptable would be very simply, because it's 7:45 in the morning and we haven't had that conversation yet.
Mm.
Because I don't know how Michael Bidwill can put forth a product coming up against San Francisco and say, fans, come to the game. I'm giving you the exact same thing you just saw.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, fair or unfair to Mike McCoy, yeah. I don't see how else you do it.
Basinonians, I will be surprised if Mike McCoy still has his job at the end of the day. And anyone that has listened to this show over the last decade, you know I'm not that guy. I am not that guy. I do not call for people's jobs. I do not. I know how difficult it is to compete at the highest level our species can generate. I have a great sensitivity to that fact. That my own failures, looking at myself and my own life and everything I've failed at in my life and how many times I was humbled on a football field. Humbled, my friends. And having said all of that, last night I saw an offense that wasn't ready to play and didn't respond to their coordinator throughout the game.
You know, it happens about once every 5 years. I think I've heard you say it's time to let somebody go. And so go back to what you just said. Why you? The rest of us, you know, like most of the fans were ready to give
sure,
up on him
absolutely.
In week two.
I understand
it
that.
Took me until, I admit, last week, the Larry Fitzgerald, I'm still upset about it, Larry Fitzgerald not being used in first and goal in any of the plays. Then on the last one, not even being in. For you, what brought you to that decision this morning?
These players coming into this game last night, the players knew what? About Mike McCoy.
They had to know his job was on the line.
He was on the hot seat coming into that game last night. And that's how you responded?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you respond. That's how you came out of the tunnel and responded in the first quarter? ME after ME? Breakdown after breakdown? The Cards, they didn't respond to their offensive coordinator's plight. And although, listen, I'll never give the player a free pass on that, ladies and gentlemen. Understand me and hear me on that. Hear me well and feel me. Heed my words and hear them well. I will never give the player a pass on that. You went out there and what? You just didn't prepare. You went out there and you really didn't care. Is that it? Because that's exactly what it looked like. And I'm not in that room. I'm not in the room. I don't hear Mike McCoy. I don't listen to him coach. I don't listen to the coaches in the meeting rooms and what it is that they're saying and what it is they may not be saying. I have no idea, ladies and gentlemen, okay? But I do know this. They did not respond to their offensive coordinator last night and his plight. In 12 years of doing this show, it haunts me, the truth that I had to learn. You can't fire the offense, but you can fire the coach. And that sucks buttermilk.
But in truth.
But it's the truth.
I don't think you're wrong in the sense of blaming everybody at the same time. It's just Mike McCoy's one of the everybody. It is a, for all of us, I think, it is a character flaw for any of us that our work ethic or preparation is based on our boss. Anybody whose boss determines whether or not you work as hard as you can, that's a character flaw for you. And I think it's fair to indict the player. I don't know which players it was, but it's fair to indict the players that are the problem. Yet, it is clear Mike McCoy, either through inability to communicate, either through complexity of scheme, either through simplicity of scheme, whatever it is, this does not work with him as the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals.
Once again, I'm not blaming Mike McCoy for all of the ills and the woes that we've seen from this offense. I am not, ladies and gentlemen. If in fact the player's being told, do this and he doesn't do it, who do you blame? Who do you blame? See, the problem is, of course, you've got some players that are making an awful lot of money and you can't fire those guys, can you? So what you have to do is somebody's not reaching these guys, so we'll fire you. It's classic. It's happened from the beginning of time, and it will continue. But I don't know.
I don't see.
Because I'm not in that room.
And I'm looking at it through the eyes of Michael Bidwell, too. And not that Michael wants me to, but if I'm the owner of a franchise that just got its tail whipped after being told you're going to get your tail whipped on national television, and there had to be, the players aren't stupid, okay? There had to be knowledge that Mike McCoy is coaching for his coaching life.
No, there was. That's the question I ask.
And now this is what happens. You can't go to the fan base as the president of this team and say, we're going to put the same product on the field against San Francisco. Can't do it. And the other thing is that you have to wonder about, I think it's a mistake to fire Steve Wilks. And I want to be very clear. You're not going to get a great head coach to replace a guy that you fired in 7 weeks. Okay.
That's not going to happen.
So you can't. But I do wonder if I'm the president and I'm now for the first time, I'm saying, okay, did I hire the right guy? And number two, you do have to ask this question. Did he put the franchise in peril by having Josh Rosen out there? I totally believe in keeping Josh Rosen out there, but there's a very good argument that says, heck no. You can't let him get the crap beat out of him.
We'll have that argument later.
And the head coach kept him out there. And there's a lot of team presidents that will say, that's something I got to keep my eye on. You teased an argument. That's
yes,
kind of funny.
Exactly.
Wolf and I disagree on something. We'll get to that a little bit later. Steve Keim, general manager, Arizona Cardinals, coming up in 30 minutes. Now, guess what time it is?
602-260-9870.
It's a listeners only meeting after that debacle. The Cardinals are 1-6. What do you have to say about it? 602-260-9870. The listeners only meeting starts next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Who would it now?
602-260-9870.
Usually Monday mornings at 7:15, but after Thursday night football, we do it now, where it's your turn. 602-260-9870. This is a listeners only meeting. And stare down these Arizona Cardinals. Second biggest win in the history of the Denver Broncos on the road. And the worst halftime deficit at a home game since 1920 in the entire history of the Arizona Cardinals as an NFL franchise. They were never down 35-3 until the performance you saw last night.
And once again, I played on some bad teams for the Cardinals, both in St. Louis, I can say, and here in Phoenix. And I can tell you right now, never have I experienced anything like what I saw last night.
That's our setup. Now it's your turn. Normally we ask you a question, and today there's no question. It's just, well, I guess there is. What did you see? Like, what happened? You describe what happened last night. Paul in Phoenix, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Paul, tell me about your Cardinals.
I can't even explain what happened, but I'm going to, a couple things. First off, I love you guys. Doug, Wolf, you guys, you have no idea how much credit I want to give you guys for coming in today. Wolf, especially you. You had to live through it.
Appreciate it, buddy.
And you guys, this hurts me, and I hate to say this, but potentially after Steve Keim, I may not listen the rest of the day. That's how bothered I am by this.
Yeah,
I will leave you with this. It's time, Wolf. It's time. Let's send up the bat signal. Find that OC. Thanks, guys.
Okay,
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for your call, buddy. Feel your pain.
We still have children, though, Paul, so if there's any way you can keep listening, we would appreciate it.
We all do.
Anthony, good morning. In Gilbert, you're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Anthony, tell me about your Cardinals.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll get right to the point. I think you fired Steve Wilks and both coordinators, and here's the reasons. Steve Wilks, Troy Aikman said it last night on the broadcast. He said he took a top six or eight defense from last year, turned it into this. Can't find. He said Steve Wilks told him he can't find a place to play Dale Buchanan. He said he's a number one draft pick, excellent football player. The offense, I mean, that speaks for itself. You clean house right at the top right now. Show the fan base you mean business. You made a mistake. Hire from within. Just promote from within interim coaches for the rest of the year and start over again at the rest of the season. That's how I feel about it. That's the only way you're going to correct this whole thing. Admit it's over and move on.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
I totally agree with the firing of Mike McCoy. Totally agree with it. Sorry, Mike. I know you gave your best. It's not a shot at you as a man. The job didn't get done. I disagree with the firing of Steve Wilks now. And I say now, okay, you have five more 45-10 losses, all right then. But if you want to fire them at the end of the year, if they're 1-15 and it's like this all year, you then still get the benefit of finding a good coach out there. There's nobody that's going to want to take a job from an organization that's firing people as a head coach 8 weeks or seven weeks into their tenure.
Yeah.
And when you say promote from within, guess who's the only guy that's got head coaching experience? I mean, are you really going to have Byron Leftwich go from quarterback coach to head coach? Don't you want to see if he can be the offensive coordinator? Do you want to burden him with a head coaching job? There's no defense for Steve Wilks right now.
Yeah.
It's more of a broad view. Where do you really go? I think that's an emotional reaction, and there's plenty of time to start the fire Steve Wilks train if it's needed later.
You know what? Listen, they're not going to fire Steve Wilks, and nor do I think he ought to be fired right now, okay? But if I am Steve Wilks, Basinonians, I will tell you right now, I want answers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at both my coordinators, and I want answers.
That's very fair. Yeah.
And I better like your answer.
That's good. Jim in Peoria. Good morning, Jim. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Jim, what do you see from the Cardinals?
Hey, guys. First time, long time. After the 58-0 loss to the Seahawks at the end of the Ken Wisenhunt era, that he would never put us through an embarrassment like that. And to me, he's violated that promise. You know, he's completely failed in this. Can you guys please ask him? You know, he's accountable. What's he going to do? Thanks.
You're very welcome.
It's a great call, Jim. And let me just say that he is accountable. That is the one thing about Steve Keim that I do love. He'll wear it. He'll be the first one to admit it. What's he going to do about it? Those are his plans. But all I know is he is accountable.
Yeah. And obviously, when you have an embarrassing loss like that on national television, Michael Bidwill has done a good job as owner, so it's not like you ask Michael Bidwill to sell, and then everybody underneath Michael should be staring at themselves wondering, did I do enough, and is this my last day on the job? I don't think anybody
should feel safe
walking in there today. Cody, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cody, what did you see from the Cardinals?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm going big picture. I think they need to fire Steve Keim. Okay. I think that we've seen his track record with first-round picks, Hassan Reddick, Robert Kendici, Daylon Buchanan. Those guys can't get on the field. You look at his free agent signings, he's always neglected the offensive line and wide receivers, which are our biggest needs right now. And I think that as an evaluator, I don't trust him to put a better team on the field. I think that overall, Steve Wilks was a bad hire, and I don't think that Steve Keim had, you know, we can agree Bruce Arians was a great hire, but just because you've gotten some things right doesn't mean that the track record, we're seeing a pattern of bad decisions.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, Cody, is that the offensive line, Justin Pugh was a offensive free agent, mm-hmm. right? He was an offensive
so
lineman,
was
of course, and a free agent. So was Mike Iupati as well, right? And Mike Iupati has had some very, very good years for the Arizona Cardinals, and most recently he's had some bad years. There's no doubt about
that. You made some great points on Keim. I'm with Wolf, though. When you look at the free agents of the offensive line, and let's not forget the trade for Jared Valdir, those were fantastic moves at the time. Where I really look at Steve Keim and say, where is the offensive lineman you've developed from the draft on? That's almost fireable right there. Is that has been a major problem. And that's what's scary about the last 2 weeks. DJ Humphries has played two of his worst games, I think, in the last 2 weeks. And that's the one guy that you kind of felt like maybe you found the piece to develop as a strong left tackle. I'm not saying Hall of Famer or anything, but now that he's struggling too, it's just like Mason Cole versus the world. Let's go to Patrick.
DJ Humphries is going to be fine.
Do you think? I believe.
Yeah,
I hope so.
He's going to be fine.
Patrick, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Patrick, what'd you see from the Cardinals?
Well, I saw not enough to go to the game that I got free tickets for in December.
Wow.
I got free tickets through work with a free parking pass, and it's not worth my time.
Thank you, Patrick. That's what's interesting about your call is it doesn't really affect me, and I'm not saying I'm important, but that does affect Michael Bidwell greatly.
Sure.
For more people to, because there's
no doubt.
The only thing that was more embarrassing than the Cardinals' attendance was the ASU attendance. Okay. That was horrific. ASU fans, I don't know what excuse you've got. I don't care. That was atrocious what you put on. And don't claim to be an ASU fan after your performance yesterday. But with the Cardinals, it was either you were wearing orange or you weren't there.
Well, maybe there were a lot of ASU fans that are Bronco fans, apparently.
Steve Keim, general manager, coming up in about 15 minutes to tell us what he saw when he watched it live and when he watched it on film. Up next, John Clayton, NFL insider. He has been through tons of coaching hot seats. Just how hot is it in Tempe right now for the Arizona Cardinals coaching staff? We'll ask Doug and Wolf's NFL Insider next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf,
giving you inside information on the NFL every week.
Dude, what's happening?
NFL Insider, John Clayton.
Mom, when's dinner?
Joins Doug and Wolf now. Brought to you by Courtesy Chevrolet, serving the Valley for over 60 years. Number one for a reason. Visit CourtesyChev.com.
Our own, the Doug and Wolf NFL Insider is John Clayton. Every Friday, he calls in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line at 7:33. John, good morning. What are the words you would use for what you saw on Thursday Night Football at State Farm Stadium?
Absolutely ugly. Absolutely ugly. I mean, you can't. There's no good words you can say. I mean, it was just bad. Everything that you look at from the very beginning with the two pick sixes and Josh Rosen struggling, the defense not being able to do it. How Denver was celebrating, and then here's Von Miller coming back and making the prediction at the beginning of the week that they were going to do what they ended up doing. That was bad.
So, Johnny, what changes could you see coming, or are you hearing that?
You would hope there isn't, but you have to figure there probably is. And, I kind of worry about the offensive coordinator. I think that, because even when I was back there a couple weeks ago for the game, there was a lot of clamoring about that, and things were much better a couple weeks ago. So you'd have to kind of think that, particularly with the 10 days now that's going to be off, that there's a chance that Mike McCoy could end up losing his job. It'd be a shame, but, we just watched it a couple weeks ago in Atlanta. You know, here's Dirk Cutter. They're off to a horrible start. Their defense is doing poorly. They tried to stand by Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator, and they have another bad game, and Mike Smith loses his job. It's just kind of the bad product of the NFL as far as what happens, but I think there'll probably have to be a sacrifice here, and I hope it doesn't happen, but I think it might.
We're talking to John Clayton, Doug and Wolf NFL insider, about what that was that we saw. Back me up on this, because you know, you've been covering the NFL for over 40 years, and that is the difference between losing 45-10 on a Sunday afternoon in a low-rated game when you get the last game on Fox, something like that, and a Thursday night primetime, this is football America. Is Michael Bidwill, do you thinking, will he react differently because it's national television? Do owners react differently when it's a national television embarrassment?
No, I don't think so. I think that they react the same way. I mean, if it's bad, then they react bad. If this was a low-rated game on Fox coming up on a Sunday, I think it's going to be the same thing. Certainly from the embarrassment standpoint, I mean, that's going to affect him. But I don't think it's going to, you know, I don't think there's any ripple effect. I mean, a bad game's a bad game, and you can either write it off or try to overreact to it. But I don't think in the case of Michael, he was going to overreact just because it was a Thursday night game.
Do you think, from what you've talked to other people, do you think Byron Leftwich is ready to be an offensive coordinator?
I would have to think so. I mean, at least he's now had more than a year where he's been able to learn. That may be a little bit, a lot to ask, but he's obviously going to be the choice if there's going to be a change. And I know he's a bright guy. That's one thing I know from his playing days, and I would imagine he can probably carry that over. I guess the big thing is, you know, if they, before they make a change, what Steve Wilks needs to do is just, you know, sit down and see, okay, is Byron ready? To quiz him to make sure that he's ready, and then make the decision. Because, again, you just don't want to make rash moves because things could get worse.
Is there an offensive coordinator that might be out there right now on the street that could be a possibility here? Again, if, in fact, it does happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it does happen, is there an offensive coordinator that's out there that you would consider?
Well, I mean, one that comes to mind would be Daryl Bevel, who had been here in Seattle and did not get they let him go, and he didn't land anywhere. So that could be one option, I guess. And that's just, you know, a guy that has been a coordinator that's had success in that. I mean, if they reach outside, maybe he could be an option.
John
just
Clayton,
not likely.
Yeah, that's funny.
Unlikely, very unlikely.
Admittedly, I immediately think of, well, how's his success rate at State Farm Stadium when it comes to giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch? I can't help him. That's the first thing I see
once again. That's going to be with him, unfortunately.
Right.
It is.
Also, too, you think of the terminology and the difference in terminology right now. It'd be just so difficult for a coordinator to come in and do that. It's the reason why, if they are going to make a change, you could see him doing it within.
John, give us some perspective on something. The hiring of Steve Wilks is kind of interesting because Todd Bowles handed a top five, top ten defense to James Betcher, and it kept going. And then James Betcher, in a sense, without being buddy-buddy with him, handed a top five or top ten defense to Steve Wilks. They run different schemes, but it's a lot of the same players, and the defense looks like trash. Do you have to give Steve Wilks time to get his players, or is it a bad hire when you hire a guy that says, I want to change something that's working?
Well, no, I mean, I think you have to give him time because his system's going to be different. I mean, particularly when you know that, particularly the linebacking core is going to be different. It's a 4-3 defense versus a 3-4, and so there's definitely going to be some personnel that is not necessarily going to fit. And so that's why I think, that's why, not in the case of Arizona, because this was Bruce Arians stepping down, but that's why I think what happens is why there's too many changes, because all of a sudden you make a change, it's a whole different system. I mean, when you go from a Bruce Arians system and what he had with Betcher in the 3-4, then you go to a different coach in a 4-3, there's definitely going to take some time to be able to get the right people in there. I mean, you look at, say, San Francisco, you look at Atlanta, you know, they've inherited kind of that Pete Carroll type of system, and it takes literally about 3 years to get the right personnel. And so that, I think, is a reality if you're going to a different one. Again, this wasn't intended in the sense that there was a coaching change because they wanted to make a coaching change. But now, because of the coaching change, I think that Steve does need time to get the personnel that fits what he wants to do.
Johnny, take us inside the NFC West, all right? Tell us about Seattle. What is going on with the Seahawks?
Well, they've now started to get the physical nature of their team going. For example, the offensive line, which has been beat up and looking terrible for the last couple of years, now has, over the last four games, had 155 yards a game rushing. And really, the two additions to the offensive line that's kind of make that click is DJ Fluker and J.R. Sweezy, the two guards. And so now they're more physical. I mean, Fluker now in each of the past two games has pancaked a defensive lineman. 2 weeks ago, he pancaked Ndamukong Suh. The other thing that's going on with Seattle is their secondary is starting to come together and become very physical. I mean, it's no longer the Legion of Boom. That all ended in 2 years in Arizona. But now they've got to still have the boom. I mean, they have now put four wide receivers with concussions in the last 2 weeks, all on legal hits. I mean, the combination of Tedrick Thompson, who's now replacing Earl Thomas, and Bradley McDougal, you know, they become very physical, and they're good tacklers that they're starting to come together. It's still young. I mean, you'll watch in the next couple weeks, they'll give up a bunch of yards because they've got Matthew Stafford coming up and some real good quarterbacks. But, you know, they're starting to kind of get the personality of this team to a point where maybe they can make a rash run to get a wild card.
John, thanks for coming on. Sorry we're grumpy.
Yeah. Thank you, Johnny.
Ron, are you going to be okay?
I'm going to be fine. Yeah, I'm going to be fine, absolutely. No doubt about it. Say hello to Pat.
Yeah, there's beer in my fridge, so I'll be good eventually. Yes. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
There's the Doug and Wolf NFL Insider, John Clayton, joining us every Friday, 7:30, to take more of a national look at the Arizona Cardinals. And then we always talk a little NFL on a normal Friday after a week. But when it's following a Cardinals 45-10 beatdown, that's the focus. Coming up next, we're going to ask him, Steve Keim, who will be the offensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals against the San Francisco 49ers? The general manager will explain what he saw last night next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals GM Steve Keim. Keim time. With Doug and Wolf.
Every Friday, here on the Doug and Wolf Show, the general manager, Steve Keim, joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. And I think a lot of you either watched the game or you've heard enough about it this morning. 45-10, your final score. 35-3 is the score at halftime, and it is the single worst first half in the history of the Cardinals as a franchise. Not just Sun Devil Stadium, not just since Ron Wolfley packed his family up to move here to the Valley. It is worse than any game at Comiskey Park for the old Chicago Cardinals. That's how far it's fallen right now.
Yeah, once again, and just to watch it and get called out the way that they were called out by Von Miller, of course, and to see him respond the way that they did, It was just really disappointing, beyond disappointing.
Steve Keim is the GM. He calls in every Friday at 6:45. Steve, thanks for calling in today. I don't know where you want to start from the beginning of the offseason until now, but after watching last night, what happened? I mean, what's happened to the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I mean, I think the easy part of this business is identifying the issues. The real challenging part, man, is getting them fixed. And, you know, I haven't felt like this since the game that we lost 58-0 and, you know, we're embarrassed. And you know, again, it gets back to having to make a lot of tough decisions, sometimes ones that aren't popular. And that's the only way we're going to climb out of this hole. Our record says we're 1-6. So, you know, I feel like that, you know, we have the chance to make a lot of improvements, but we have to take a long, hard look in the mirror and start now.
Steve, one of the worst starts, I think, offensively you could possibly imagine, and I know you would agree with that. A lot of conversation about Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator. Will Mike McCoy be the offensive coordinator going forward?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to talk on the radio about anybody's job status, but I can tell you that, you know, everybody in this organization is being evaluated, and we got to make the improvements that are necessary. So I'll leave it at that.
I can I totally respect that, Steve, because you can't – I mean, how embarrassing is it to an organization if Mike McCoy finds out that he's not the guy on his way into work or, you know, you need to have that conversation. But
it's something I hate talking about, yeah, period.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, boy, the fan base – is at a point where they're dropping like flies right now, Steve. If you were to keep Mike McCoy, why? What's the success rate? Why would you believe Mike's still the guy that should remain as the offensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is we're all accountable. So, again, I'm not going to get into why we should keep somebody or why we should let somebody go on the radio. But, again, we're all accountable. You know, this isn't good enough. And last night, the game that was on display, national television, quite frankly, embarrassing. We all know that. Everybody saw it. And, again, need to take a long, hard look in the mirror and get it fixed.
When you saw the timeout call on the second play of the game, what were you thinking?
Same thing you were.
Steve, I was thinking that's probably the end of Mike McCoy, so maybe we shouldn't go there. I'm assuming the team scripts its first 7, 10, 15 plays to get ready for a game. Am I right?
I would assume.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, you mentioned the fact, Steve, that it was 58-0, the 58-0 game, I believe, to Seattle, and I'll never forget your reaction after that. I know you. You're a friend of mine. I'll never forget your reaction after that game. Does it feel the same to you right now?
It does. It does. It's, you know, when you're in this situation, man, it's lonely. But at the same time, you find out a lot about yourself. You find out a lot about your organization. And you have two choices. You know, you can curl up in a ball and hope it goes away, which it's not. Or you can come out swinging and fight. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm coming out swinging like hell.
Yes.
And that's what we have to do as an organization. And hopefully that's what permeates throughout, you know, this building, the locker room. And,
right.
You know, it starts from the top down.
Steve, when you put the roster together, did you see any of this coming? Did you see any of it coming right now? Because this is the hardest thing for me to get over, just the fact that I did not see this coming at all. What do you feel?
No, I mean, there's no way you can anticipate this. And at the same time, you know, you feel like that, you know, in my position, you have to address any holes or deficiencies that you may have as a football team. But at the same time, you know, I certainly didn't foresee this coming.
Steve Keim, general manager, Arizona Cardinals, joining Doug and Wolf this morning. Steve, when you look at your locker room, Von Miller, you know what he said what he was going to do to this organization. It doesn't seem like from a media standpoint, your players responded. What do you think when you look at your players in context of Von Miller calling everybody out for the Cardinals?
Well, I mean, obviously it's frustrated the fact that he backed it up. And number two, what I would expect is for us to come out and fight our asses off and show everybody that's not the kind of football team we are. But again, talk is cheap, and we have to do it on the field. We have to get a lot of things corrected. You know, again, execution everywhere. You know, we have to get better. You know, the silver lining, I would say, when you look at the game, as in the fourth quarter, you know, there were times when the game was out of control that there were guys continuing to fight and compete, particularly our rookie quarterback. You have to admire his mental toughness and his physical toughness. But, you know, there's not a whole lot to hang your hat on to get excited about, which is why we're in here early and we're trying to get this thing going.
On that note right there, Steve, how did Josh Rosen play?
You know, I think there was some good and some things that he would like to have back. I mean, you know, again, he continues to do things from a pure passing standpoint where we know he can throw the football. When you get down that quickly, that early, it puts you in a disadvantage, particularly whenever you can't run the football. So, again, as we've talked about before, if you don't have balance, you know, you're going to struggle. And now all of a sudden you have protection issues. You have two backup guards with a lot of stress in that area. And, you know, we put him at a big disadvantage. But, you know, again, the thing that I like is seeing his competitiveness and his want to. And again, you know, talking to him after the game, you know, he has the right attitude and the mindset that you want.
if you're sitting in your box and your potential franchise quarterback is getting the literal crap beat out of him in a 45-10 game, do you still want him out there?
You know, it's like the fourth down call. You know, if it works, you're happy, and if it doesn't, you know, everybody is yelling. I mean, at the end of the day, you can argue and say, you know what, we want to get him snaps. It's valuable to get him as many snaps as possible, to see as many looks as we can. And then conversely, you can say, well, shoot, we don't want to put him in harm's way. So, you know, again, you can look at it a bunch of different ways, and I know that's not what you want to hear, but, you know, quite frankly, I don't think there is a great answer.
Sam Bradford in the beginning of the season. Steve, how much did that mess up the plans for you and the front office, of course, and Steve Wilks and the coaching staff and the plans for this team going forward? I'd have to imagine that it was a shock to you that Sam Bradford struggled to the degree in which he did, where you had to make that move early. How much did that mess up your plans?
Well, it was a little earlier than we anticipated, but again, that's why you have you know, depth. You know, you hope that there are other guys that can do it if someone else struggles. And exactly why we went out and we signed Mike Glennon, who's had experience of not only starting but playing in the past for two different organizations, and then, you know, trading up to 10. You know, I really do feel like Josh can do it, and it's not too big for him. But he's got to have 10 other guys around him helping him as well. And, you know, we have to put him in a position to succeed.
Steve Keim, GM, Arizona Cardinals, joining Doug and Wolf. Steve, you brought in Todd Bowles. Defense was outstanding. He hands a top-10 defense to James Betcher. Things keep right on rolling. Now that defense, with largely the same players, was handed to Steve Wilks, and now we're here with one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Is it a coach's job to coach the players he has, or is it a coach's job to coach his scheme and wait for better players?
Well, I mean, I think it's easy to say that you got to put guys in the best position to succeed. And that's something we have to take a long, hard look at is how do we get these guys going and how do we put them in a different position to succeed or to understand what we're asking them to do? That's no secret. So, again, those are the things that we have to get cleaned up. You know, the average fan can see that, and we have to get people excited again, and that starts with me, it starts with Coach, and we got to fight.
Where is your confidence level that you made the right choice in Steve Wilks as the head coach?
I'm confident. You know, and again, it takes all of us as an organization. You know, I love Coach's leadership skills. I love his passion. And we're going to have some long, hard conversations that are necessary to get this thing turned in the right direction. And again, that's the tough part of the business. But, you know, it's why I think he was right for the job, because he will fight.
Steve, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. God bless you. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. There's Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. And he joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterNissan.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. When you listen to the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, what did you hear? What I heard is a man that's respectfully going to be letting people go today. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.